Lawyers for a variety of groups and individuals this week in Washington are examining documents, information they had to go to court to get the Bush administration to release. Most have to do with contracts between private companies and administration officials on energy policy, but there are many other energy-related records that the White House is withholding from public scrutiny without actually invoking the doctrine of executive privilege. NPR Legal Affairs correspondent Nina Totenberg has the second of two reports on the Bush administration's information policies.
Presidents, especially recent presidents, don't like to invoke executive privilege. Catholic University professor Mark Rozelle explains why.
Oftentimes, administrations will adopt a strategy of secrecy while avoiding the use of the words executive privilege because harkens back to the Nixon era and, of course, to the Lewinsky scandal.
President Bush is much like his predecessors in that way. Mr. Bush has actually only invoked those magic words, executive privilege, twice. Once, to prevent disclosure of Clinton administration Justice Department memos on the fundraising investigation of the Clinton-Gore campaign. Even Mr. Bush's harshest critics grudgingly admit that decision appears to have been a principled one, because it denied Republicans an opportunity to embarrass Mr. Clinton. But Mr. Bush's second invocation of executive privilege puzzled just about everyone. Again, the refusals involved Justice Department internal memos, but this time they were 20 years old and involved a mob investigation in Boston, an investigation that has long been recognized as an example of gross misconduct by the FBI. Indeed, in that case, FBI agents allowed an innocent man to serve 30 years in prison for a crime the agents knew he did not commit. In the end, the administration caved on the question of executive privilege and let the committee have access to all the Justice Department material. The change of heart came hours after committee chairman Dan Burton, a Republican, publicly threatened to hold President Bush in contempt. Committee member Stephen LaTourette, an Ohio Republican, says the administration caved in because it was simply wrong.
I understand the need to keep confidential memorandum prepared in anticipation of litigation, but in this case you had Mr. Salvati in prison for over 30 years, J. Edgar Hoover is dead, a number of the protagonists are dead, and it really stretched our imagination as to what national security interests would be at stake by revealing these documents.
The months-long battle over access to the mob investigation documents is not new in Washington. Presidents always want to keep their deliberations secret, sometimes for good reasons and sometimes for other reasons, as Nixon White House counsel John Dean observes.
Politicians don't put out press releases when they make errors, and they like to keep their errors buried.
But, he contends, the Bush administration will not succeed in what he calls shrink-wrapping itself.
It is very difficult to indefinitely maintain that stance because it's just so contrary to the flow of history. It's contrary to the open media we have. And I don't know of any president who ultimately survives that.
Charles Cooper, who served as Assistant Attorney General for the Office of Legal Counsel in the Reagan administration, strongly supports President Bush's attempt to resuscitate executive privilege. The problem, he notes, has always come in the form of political imperatives.
Political pressures can be absolutely excruciating. The Iran-Contra matter comes immediately to mind when there is evidence of some kind of scandalous conduct. The pressure to disprove the claims, regardless of what type of information is disclosed, goes out the window. And once that has happened once, a precedent has been set.
Vice President Cheney made the same point on Fox News Sunday earlier this year. Mr. Bush, he said, is determined to recapture for the presidency some of the confidentiality that's been lost over the last 30 years.
Time after time after time, administrations have traded away the authority of the president to do his job. We're not going to do that in this administration. The president's bound and determined to defend those principles and to pass on this office, his and mine, to future generations in a better shape than we found it.
When they say they're doing it on principle, it's the principle of their own self-preservation.
That's Larry Klayman, director of Judicial Watch, the conservative public interest group that made a cottage industry of suing President Clinton in the 1990s and has begun doing the same to President Bush.
They don't want to release documents that could lead to controversy and maybe even scandal.
Charles Cooper, the former Reagan administration official, calls that nonsense, contending that to release internal deliberative memos from the White House would prevent the president from getting the honest views he needs to hear.
if his subordinates believe that anything they say to the president on controversial issues as options might end up on the radio over NPR, they're going to be chilled in their expression.
Larry Klayman says that argument distorts reality.
What Judicial Watch is seeking is not primarily internal deliberations from one government official to another or even his or her staff. We're looking for the communications with outside lobbyists, special interest groups that spend a lot of money effectively bribing politicians with campaign contributions.
And even Mr. Cooper agrees that it's hard to make the confidentiality argument with regard to contacts and advice from people and groups outside government, whether you call it executive privilege or you call it something else. Still, there does seem to be a legal showdown in the works. Cooper himself observes that a president can pick his fights, and it's clear that this president has consistently picked them on the information front.
A president has many to pick from in terms of where he will take a stand. It seems to me this president has been remarkably aggressive in his determination.
For example, many senior Republicans on Capitol Hill are privately puzzled that the president has not simply turned over the list of all those outsiders who met with the Cheney Energy Task Force. As Republican Congressman La Tourette puts it,
the tiz that everybody gets into trying to protect the documents or keep them from coming out is worse than what happens once you see them. My experience is once you see what's written down, it's really not that big a deal.
The president, however, has not compromised. And with the exception of the Boston mob case documents, he's not engaged in the usual political minuet necessary to make a deal. Here's how Vice President Cheney put it.
Can you imagine an FDR or Teddy Roosevelt in the midst of a grave national crisis, dealing with the problems we're having to deal with now, over here on the side, as a matter of political expediency, trading away a very important fundamental principle of the presidency?
To the administration's critics, though, that justification is just an excuse for policies put in place well before September 11th, and it reflects a kind of suspicion of democracy. Stephen Henson is president of the American Society of Archivists.
It did the administration no credit to adopt policies that reflected more on the tactics and policies of our avowed enemies. Totalitarian regimes have understood that if you can control the information, you can control the people. And for us, it's a matter of making certain that the public has all the information it needs to make informed decisions with respect to its government and the people we elect to that government. Without that, the democracy is flawed.
The die, at least for now, seems to be cast. Many of the information battles now being fought out at the lower levels of the federal courts may be destined for the Supreme Court, where perhaps a conservative majority would be willing to cast aside the open government decisions of the post-Watergate era and give the executive branch a much bigger shield. Catholic University professor Mark Rozelle.
That may be what the administration is counting on, is the Supreme Court to protect its principles, and of course that would be a big victory.
Another win for George Bush, like Bush versus Gore, or a defeat for presidential prerogatives, like Clinton versus Jones. Nobody knows for sure. Nina Totenberg, NPR News, Washington.